Today on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about a game near and dear to my heart, The Legend of Zelda. Welcome back, and as the old man says, it is dangerous to go alone. So I have assembled a team tonight, a group of nerd experts, to discuss with me The Legend of Zelda. Let's go on and introduce everyone around. So here to my left is...
Charles Wright.
Hi, Chuck. How you doing? Do you prefer Chuck or Charles? How do you want to be known tonight?
Either will work. I know Charlie. People may bounce around at different names. Chuck, Chaz, Chad, Charlie... All of them. They work.
All right. And let me go on and ask you, Charlie, obviously you're a gamer. Would you classify yourself as a gamer, or?
I would classify myself as a weekend gamer.
Weekend gamer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
What about as a kid?
As a kid, definitely. My brother and I spent way too many hours in the back room playing nothing but video games. I didn't get much past Nintendo, but my brother carried on. I played a lot of N64, but original Sega Master System and Nintendo were my big loves.
Okay, were you a Genesis fan?
I was, actually. Okay. I was.
I mean the rock group.
Deuteronomy sucks, though.
Works for both, right?
It works for both. Yeah. All right, cool. And across from me tonight, I have...
I'm Zach Munn.
Zach, are you a gamer?
Yeah, I would consider myself a gamer. I spend a lot of time playing games, so that counts, right?
That counts. Yeah. Now, are you just a gamer, or are you a giant nerd in general?
I would never have said that before, the last few years, but I really have sort of gone off the deep end in terms of, like, I have a regular D&D game.
Oh, nice.
I am building something incredible that I don't even want to talk about in Minecraft right now. I just discovered FTL, and like I've been going deep into that. It's a roguelike. See, I know the word roguelike.
You know the word roguelike. Yeah, I dropped that a few weeks ago. I'm so glad you know that.
Oh, it's great.
All right,
it's
you're a nerd. Stuff. I'm glad to have you here. Glad to have both of you here. And the last person on our nerd expert panel is...
Mark Soloff!
Mark, it's good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
You've been on a lot of these right now?
I have. I'm very popular with the internet community these days.
The internet ladies love you.
Are there ladies on the internet now? I haven't found any.
I don't think any women...
You're not going to the right sites.
Oh.
Not all of them ladies, by the way, just to throw that out.
Some of them are a hybrid, a mishmash, if you will, a pastiche.
All right. Okay. Now, let's
You're never going to get a lady using the word pastiche.
No, you're not.
I could get a French lady. That's...
Mark.
Yes?
Focus up.
Gotcha.
What type of gamer... Are you a gamer?
I am a gamer.
Okay, what type of gamer are you?
A fat gamer?
Well, all right. Physically, that's what you are. Okay. But emotionally, in your heart, what...
Insecure gamer. Lonely gamer. Jesus, deliver me. You mean what type of games do I like?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of first-person shooters and RPGs.
Okay.
Role-playing games.
For those of you who don't know, that's what that term means.
So you don't speak elite.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Robert
Grenade. Robert,
well.
But I mean, I did fight in Afghanistan in the 80s.
You had extensive Marine training.
Well, no. Just me and a bunch of African guys running around shooting people.
Oh, that's cool.
Jesus.
And cool, that...
So, flashbacks. This may happen.
That is our group of experts for tonight. As is common with this podcast, I have invited an outcast this evening who may not be as familiar with the subject or just not care about it. And tonight, I'm looking at him right now, and his name is what, sir?
I'm guessing Rob Shoemate.
That would be you. So, Rob, before we go any further into anything else, I want to chat with you just for a little bit, and if anyone wants to ask him questions, feel free.
Please.
First off, Rob, you're not actually the person, you're not... as much of an outcast as I would like you to be, because you've played The Legend of Zelda, right?
I've played the original, I've played Link to the Past, and I've played Ocarina of Time, yeah.
You've kind of hit all the really good ones.
What else is there?
Did you play Zelda, the original one, when it first came out?
Yeah, I tried to and got really frustrated with it and then played it again when I was older.
I grew up with you. I don't remember you getting frustrated.
What, are you high?
No. I just don't ever remember you playing the game. When did you play the game?
I played the game at friends' houses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we ever owned it.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Cool. Well, yes, again, thank you for stepping in tonight. I originally had someone else slated, and they couldn't make it, so thank you for coming in and being the outcast, which really just gives us an excuse to talk at you,
and berate
with
me.
You, yes, and berate right. you yeah. about The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So, The Legend
come at
of
me, bro.
Zelda.
The Legend of Zelda!
The Legend of Zelda! It's such a great game!
Oh, it's an incredible game.
Where do we start?
It's a little bit of a misnomer of a title, I think.
Oh, why is that?
Because it's just The Legend of Zelda.
Who's still alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, for the longest time, I thought the guy I was playing was named Zelda.
Exactly.
I did too, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a kid. Here I am, like, oh, it's called Legend of Zelda. This must be... Mm-hmm. I'm Zelda! Fuck yeah!
Have you seen that t-shirt that says Zelda is the girl?
Yeah.
It just says Zelda is the girl.
Well,
because
you don't meet the girl right away.
No.
You don't. Why wouldn't it be the guy? It's the only person you've met so far other than all
barely
the Octoroks.
I don't think that they name Link...
They
when
do
you
name
start.
Link. No, well, you can name Link.
Oh, your own names?
You can name him your own name, and I think in the instruction booklet, he
it
is named
Link.
Link.
Okay.
Yes. But, yeah, it's
I
not...
See, I always had a problem with that when I was naming characters. I always felt guilty for giving them different names.
Me too.
When I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Did you feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so glad I found other people that felt that way, because I was like, I don't want to name him, you know, something disgusting, like all my friends were naming them, you know, I don't know. Whatever you think disgusting is when you get diapers. You think diapers are disgusting.
I chose Bob a lot.
Bob.
I don't know
why.
That's
my father's name I would never choose.
Bob as a hero. Just some random dude named Bob who you expect to see like in a white collar shirt working in an office building, but he's wielding a sword that can shoot lasers at least until you get hit first. And
spoilers.
Yeah, sorry.
In case you didn't know.
The laser doesn't stay around forever. But you know, you keep finding fairies, another spoiler, and
convention.
They'll refill you, yeah.
Do you know why he's called Link?
What?
I actually do not.
He is called Link because he is the player's link to the game world.
Really?
Nice.
That's crazy. It is literally supposed to mean your connection to the world.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Zelda is named Zelda supposedly because the creator enjoyed the name Zelda, and one of his co-workers suggested F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife said that she had an interesting name of Zelda that no one ever used. So he was like, well, I'm going to use that name. So he used that name.
I always liked it kind of because there was sort of like a, like the an end of the quest thing, you know, like Z's at the end of the alphabet,
you know,
so it's like an alpha omega thing, sort of. You know what I mean? Like you have to go this far and then you get all the way to the 26th letter.
Yeah.
And then a little bit further down in the alphabet.
From the old man to the Zelda.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's also an extremely exotic name.
It is.
It's something that sounds like an actual name, as opposed to some things you might hear people call themselves in video games. Or in comic books, like the name Bane comes to mind.
Yes.
Sounds less like a name to me. Even though I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, and there is a character in there named Bane, who I really enjoy, it still always sounded like less of a name. But Zelda is an exotic name I knew people who were actually named Zelda, which was actually...
Oh, yeah. I never
they
never
were old. They were usually never. Older people.
Sure,
usually
like
older.
Ethel or
yes,
Merman.
It was always like a middle name that no one ever knew someone had.
Right.
So, it's weird to have a Z as your middle initial, because how many Zs can you have other than like Zachary?
Well, for those listeners who don't know, we've kind of just jumped right in... In The Legend of Zelda, you play as the character Link, and you are on a quest to save Princess Zelda and acquire the 8 pieces of the Triforce of Wisdom, and then go and attack and free her from Ganon, a giant, weird pig monster. It looks like he's wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Pig man.
He's a pig man, yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's wearing a t-shirt. He really does.
And he's just the larger version of the...
Moblin?
That you run into in the game.
Yeah.
Like, he really is... So
yeah, it's strange.
He's their Goliath.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's their
the bigger, stronger version.
I mean,
of
genetic
all of them.
Mutation amongst the pigmen created a super pigman
who could also wield
and
magic.
Who has a thing with silver? Like, doesn't not a fan.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, he's not a fan.
He's not.
It tarnishes.
Well, Before I ask you guys a couple of questions about your experiences with the game, let's go back in time to 1986. Gas is maybe 60 cents a gallon. Aliens has just come out and is storming the charts of the movie office when they still called them charts.
And movie offices.
Movie offices. Yeah.
Welcome to the movie office.
Well, movie office. Aliens is storming up the charts. 1986 is going to be a good year. In the world of Japan...
And it is its own world.
It's its own world. A young programmer named Shigeru Miyamoto, who created the hits Donkey Kong and Mario Brothers, was creating a new game called The Legend of Zelda.
Was he that young?
I don't know how old he was in 86. I guess he was probably maybe 21, 22.
Wow.
He's a young guy. Yeah.
Well, those are the people who make the games now. Are about
21
age.
Years old. God, I haven't done anything.
I know.
I know.
Well, but you have to remember, like, he didn't know he was making these essential masterpieces. Donkey Kong was a huge success, especially, obviously, in arcades.
Oh, yeah.
And Mario Brothers was a really big thing because the screen could scroll. Like, that was new. That was new technology to move and have the screen move with you. Which is kind of interesting because Zelda seems like a step back in that respect because each screen is static and you just go from screen to screen. But I think it's his design philosophy that he decided to approach with Zelda that really is kind of the allure of the whole franchise. Because with Mario Brothers, it's about getting from point A to B, you know, rhythm and tempo as you make your way through this level of platforms and monsters and whatnot. And with Zelda, he wanted to take a very opposite approach where the player could explore the world at their leisure. He created essentially this, maybe you could argue, the first open world game.
I'm with you on that. I've been thinking about that, about how that was the part that I really liked the most, that you could go and get lost in some other part of the world and, like, if you'd never been there before, you felt sort of alarmed because you were like, I don't have a safe place here, you know? Like, I don't have, like, a cave that I go to buy supplies, or I don't have, like, the level one labyrinth, which is super easy, you know? Like, this is the wilds here, you know? Like,
well, you know what? Let's go on and talk about first experiences with the game, and I'll just go around the table and do that. Charlie, did you play this when it first came out it came out in America in 1987. Did you play it?
I probably played it in 88, 89.
Okay.
Because we didn't have a Nintendo right away. We had our Sega Master System.
Nice.
And we had a ton of games on that. The Sega Master System is still my favorite console.
Wow. It's a good system. It blew the NES out of the water as far as, like, some of the processing powers that it could do.
Yeah.
If you stack...
You also had two different types of games. You had your top-loading cartridge, and then you had these smaller forward-loading, the thinner ones.
You had
two choices of what type of game you want to buy. And they were actually different prices.
Mm-hmm.
But the games were obviously different. The front-loading ones had less graphics. There would be less levels, less gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Sega Master System also had its own built-in game into the hard drive that you had to get by pressing several buttons right as the Sega came up.
What?
If it came up and said Sega.
No,
you had
the Master System was really impressive.
You could not have a game loaded in it at all. So you just powered it up, the Sega came up, the Sega would literally move over, and it was a maze game where you were, like, best I could tell, a ladybug? It was some rounded...
I've never heard of this Easter
egg.
It
was some rounded little thing, and there was a flashing light somewhere in the maze, and you had to find your way to it.
That's amazing.
That's all the game was.
That's incredible.
It was super simple, but it was one of those things that, like...
We
found it by surprise one day. Like, one of us was, like, blowing on the cartridge, and the other had already hit power, and the other one was just kind of hitting the button going, come on, come on, come on, and then all of a sudden, like, we see the Sega come up, and we're like, oh, it's going to play something already. But that's the thing. The console always brought up the Sega.
Yeah.
Although they had to. That's how you advertise for Sega.
You know, yeah.
And it would move... Then it moved over, and me and my brother were like, what?
It's a good thing you weren't high.
Our heads would have just exploded.
Oh, I don't know that.
It was California. We almost totally invented weed, so it could have been a thing, even though we were only 8 and 6 years old.
All right. Well, bring it back to Zelda. Bring it back to Zelda.
But in about 88 was when I played it. I had a friend named William who had a Nintendo. My brother and I, none of my other friends did, but William did. And so I would go over to his house. My favorite game to play was Mega Man 2 at the time. But
we'll do that podcast eventually.
He was playing Zelda, and I had heard of the game, I'd seen it. And as a matter of fact, they were already, I think, doing the promos for the sequel that was coming out.
Yeah.
By the time I first got to play it. But I started playing it, and I remember, the first thing I remember thinking was, this game reminded me. Do you guys ever remember any of the old PC games, the Wizards and Sorcerers?
Yeah, where like
it was all just typing. You just type it in about what you want to do and this or that, and like the computers had some little algorithm whether or not you survived the evil sorcerer's lightning attack and or you froze him. It could go either way. But that's when I realized, I was like, somebody literally took that idea and now has put it into something that, like, as I press the button, something happens.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that is awesome. That is awesome. And I think I stayed over his house that day, spent the night and all this stuff, and I must have played that thing for like 6 hours straight. Didn't get anywhere because I had no idea what was going on.
But
it died a million times.
That was the whole point with those, is that you could not get anywhere and feel great about it.
Yeah.
You know, you could be like...
because you were exploring.
Yeah, you were exploring and stuff happened and you were always impressed when something new happened.
Yeah.
You know why supposedly the rumor mill is Miyamoto designed the game based on his childhood experiences of like exploring caves and forests in rural Japan.
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah. And you know, Charlie, when I asked you to be on this podcast, I remember you were talking about kind of the abstruse design of Zelda, how you really don't know where to go. I've also heard that was very much intentional because obviously this is in the days before the internet. One thing they wanted kids to do was to go around and like compare stories and be like, oh, I burned this tree and I found this dungeon and I did this and I did that. And one of my friends told me the kid who discovered where the magical sword was, which grave to push over to get to the sword, that kid was like a hero for like weeks on the playground.
Yeah.
Like they would just lift him up on his on their arms and shoulders and just like carry him around. And that kid was like revered. And like that is what they wanted to go for, was this communal gaming community.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely one of those things that it taught, like, you know, people who were playing the game, that like when you would go to some of those levels and they didn't let you know anything. You didn't know that you could burn a tree and there's something secret. You didn't know.
Bomb a rock and it opens
up. Bomb a rock, or when you go into the forest and you have to go certain
and
ways
to
get to the end.
Yeah,
I don't know how many hours
I
spent running around and just being like so frustrated, always spitting you back out and being like, until I finally like got lucky and found the cave with the person that tells you where you're supposed to go. And I was like, and you're able to put these things together. And as like an 8 or 9 year old kid, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the arguments of video games help hand-eye coordination, but that game really did help you like reasoning. Like you're sitting there and someone gives you some information and you apply it to something later on to help you get what you want.
Hold on to that, because I want to specifically address that later on. Right now, Zach, let me jump over to you.
Sure.
Did you play this in 1987?
Yes, I would have played it pretty early on, because I was real lucky as a kid, and we got a Nintendo early.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which was great. Super fun. So, got this game, and obviously the first thing I was really impressed by was, like, the gold cartridge. I don't think gets enough play for how cool it was compared to every other Nintendo cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had like all these other things, and then you would like show someone like, but check this.
The
out.
Gold cartridge is like the best form of advertising.
I mean, it was incredible. It was like, oh, well,
you could spot it in a group of other cartridges.
Yes.
You could, like, you're like, oh,
Zelda
and Zelda 2. That was also a gold cartridge.
See, I remember more.
I'm talking about Zelda 2.
I remember more Zelda 2 as the gold cartridge, but I have seen original Zeldas in the gold cartridge.
Have you seen the commercial for The Legend of Zelda? Because it's really fascinating that they do this great job of making the cartridge gold, but the commercial is awful. Oh, it's so horrible. It's some crazy dude wandering around. Honestly, it looks like it was shot in someone's basement.
Yeah.
And this guy's just kind of wandering around screaming Zelda's name, and they project images of the game up on the wall, or like cut to an image of the game, and he's like, oh my god, an Octorok! Zelda! Oh my god, a Staphos!
I vaguely remember this.
It's really horrible.
Yeah.
Even as a kid, I thought, well, this doesn't make me want to play. I've played this game. It's so much better than this commercial is giving it credit for.
Yeah. Yeah, man, the 80s, you know.
It's the 80s.
Stupid.
Yeah, everything about the 80s was stupid.
Except the music.
We'll talk about that later.
Any other
thoughts? My first experience with it was exactly what we're talking about, which was like sort of going around and sort of finding your way, which you just didn't have with any other game like that, you know? And so I played it for a while and I got really, really into it. And I played and played, and I got to the point where one day I accidentally discovered that you could burn a tree down and it would reveal stairs. So I went around and burned every tree. Oh, like, yes. I mean, once I got the, what was it, the blue candle that you can just keep spewing fire, like, I was just like, this is it. This is the item that gives me permission to
destroy, be an anarchist.
To waste hours and hours.
Yeah. I did the same thing with bombs. First time I found out you could blow bombs. Open a wall.
I must have gone through dungeons.
It was always the north, south, east, west. I'd be like, bomb there, bomb there. Bomb.
And it was never anywhere other than the center of a wall in a dungeon. Mm-hmm. But you could be like, okay, I got a bomb 3 times in this room.
And then you run out of bombs and you're like, damn it, I got to leave this dungeon and get some more bombs because nothing in here is giving me bombs.
Yeah. That was, and that was the whole thing.
It always made you obsessed with the one thing you needed. Like, I need fire, right?
I need fire, I need to have these bombs, or why can't I have more than 255, you know, rupees. How do you say it? Rupees?
Rupees.
Rupees, rupees. Yeah.
Rupee.
Don't you dare.
I'm very popular in France.
The French version of Indian money.
Oh, right. No, I got you. Friendian.
Yes. 1987, did you play this?
Well, I don't remember if that was the year I played it. I had two older brothers, and we all shared an NES. And we were also fortunate in that we had a fair number of games. Zelda was in heavy rotation. I'm very bad about remembering the specifics of my childhood, which is another podcast entirely. So I can't tell you if it like came out and I got it. I don't recall that happening.
Okay.
And I do recall having to share it with my stupid brothers.
I know, I feel the same way.
Do you guys ever play games, and then if somebody made one single noise while you're playing, even though you're supposed to take turns, you're like, you distracted me, so I get to play again. If you died. Me and my brother did that.
I don't know if we created that rule.
I used to invent the...
I've always been bigger than him.
Extra turn for dying too quick.
Like, I think that's fair. It's like a mulligan.
I was a huge proponent of that one, because I would die too quick.
See, my brother and I were just too...
good.
we were always fighting, so it was like Charles gets to play, then Dwayne gets to play, then Charles gets to play, then Dwayne. And so if you're playing and the other person made any noise so you could keep playing, you make the excuse, you distracted me, I get to play again. And of course we'd always argue, no one ever handed the controller off.
Right.
Mark.
Yo.
First thoughts. Did you have any first thoughts?
As a child? I was hungry or uncomfortable.
About this game.
Right. I remember I had, my friends were also into Zelda, and so some of them would like bring in the issue of Nintendo Power, which outlined the levels, and I would try to like memorize how it looked so I could try it out later after school, and of course it never succeeded. And I remember with Zelda for the first time having like envy towards my friend's progress, because they were like, oh yeah, I got the white armor, or like, yeah, I got the master sword, like, and I still had my stupid wooden sword, and I was like, why can't I have that? And that was something you didn't have so much with Mario. Like, you didn't really, I mean, you weren't leveling up in Zelda,
right?
But you did acquire things that would help you.
It was like primitive leveling up.
You became empowered as you went along.
Yeah.
It taught capitalism at its finest.
It did. It did. It taught things.
It taught
you.
Fine.
Get money, get
it's working.
Things.
It's really
life is
working.
Easier when you have better things.
Be the best.
You know, I always appreciate that, like, the old man says it's dangerous to go alone. He gives you the sword, you stab him.
No.
You stab him.
You told me about this.
I did.
I went back and watched an internet video. I'm pretty sure he just disappears and you are holding it aloft. Because he's back in other areas.
I don't know if that's the same old man.
Yeah, there's multiple old men.
Listen, I cut every old man I come across.
You kill them all.
In Zelda and in real life.
Only if they're really old and can't get away. I'm not chasing anyone. Not with these...
Not even old people.
Rob, you were playing... You were a PC gamer at this time, right? Like, you were playing...
Oh, God. I don't think... I became a console gamer until much later.
So did this just look like the most primitive...
I got frustrated with it. I didn't play it through until much later. I played it, I would say, probably for... Like, every time I went over to this particular friend's house, I would play it, you know, to try and get better at it, and it just would frustrate the crap out of me. So I just never really got too far into it until later on, after I played A Link to the Past. Mm-hmm. I played A Link to the Past, and then went back. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll give this a try. Two sucked. I hated two.
Two's a separate podcast.
Yeah.
I can't even talk about that awful game.
You know what's really interesting about at least the first Zelda? You really can go to pretty much almost anywhere. You can access 5 of the 9 dungeons from the very start of the game. And here's the really crazy thing. You can get to the very last fight having never picked up the sword.
Really?
Wait.
Yeah.
You mean from the old man?
Yeah. You can play this game without ever picking up the sword.
If you skip that cave and then you go get every other item, the boomerang, the arrows, anything that can kill without being a sword.
Yeah.
You know, or kill or stun without being a sword.
Yeah.
And you can get that far.
There's rooms where you can gamble, and essentially what you do is you gamble till you have enough money to buy bombs. Once you have bombs, you can go through the game normally, because you can use that to kill things. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you'll start acquiring the other items. You do need the sword to beat the final boss. Mm-hmm. Ganon's spoiler. But yeah, people can actually play this game without actually ever picking up the primary weapon, which is kind of crazy to me. And I mean, if you want to, you can go to the fifth dungeon first.
Why not?
You know, why not?
I got a random question, just because you brought him up. Why is in some of the games he's Ganon, and sometimes he's Ganondorf?
I can answer that. The one where he's Ganondorf, especially Ocarina of Time being the most popular one, it's a prequel. It's supposed to be a prequel.
What?
Yeah.
They talk about, in A Link to the Past, Ganon used to be Ganondorf, a thief. And then in Ocarina of Time, they greatly expand upon that.
Yeah.
In the original Legend of Zelda, there isn't that much story. In fact, it's like very... If you sit through the opening sequence and it starts going through this track sequence where it like lays out the story and then shows you every item you're going to get.
Impa that gets you, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very broken English. It's like, Prince of Darkness Ganon has stolen Triforce power. Zelda broke up wisdom with 8 pieces. Link, find 8 pieces. Save Ganon.
All
your you know, like, yeah, it's really, really a pretty bad translation. But there isn't too much story to the first one. But yeah, that's why he's called Ganondorf later on. Essentially, when he is the horrible pig monster, he's Ganon. But when he's human, he's Ganondorf.
Okay.
Yeah. But they don't explain that for a long time. Because they couldn't really push story with this one as much, so. Wah, wah.
Well, they must have been pushing the processing on this thing, man. It was so cool that I have to imagine they used every last ounce
this
of space.
This thing weighed in at 128 kilobytes.
Oh, it's incredible.
Really?
Yeah. The Legend of Zelda weighs in at a whopping 128 kilobytes.
128 kilobytes and has generated way more than that in terms of time and memory that I give to it.
Well, here's something that's really interesting. This was released in Japan. It was released for a system known as the Famicom Disk System, which was a expansion that you plugged into the NES, kind of like the Sega CD system that we had here. And essentially what that allowed Japanese people to do is rewrite data on games so they could save their games.
Ooh.
So we never got that here in America. What they had to do here in America was put the memory inside the actual cartridge itself.
Mm.
So in Zelda, you can actually save on the cartridge versus having to do it in the disk system in Japan. But sometimes they would reverse and they would pull out features. So in Japan, Metroid had a save system. Here, it has this really long password system because they didn't put
like
32 or 64 characters that you had to write down.
Jeez.
Yeah, in Japan you could save
the game. I remember that. Yeah. Oh, Metroid was a pain.
Well, that's a separate.
Yeah, separate. Yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, like developers were always trying to find like interesting ways to push the NES a little further, and if they couldn't mod the hardware, they would mod the cartridge. For instance, Castlevania 3 in Japan has additional sound chips, but that was deemed too expensive here in the US, so they actually pulled out sound channels from the game cartridge. The only way you would know that is if you've played the Japanese version of the game. It's just got a little extra music tracks
have
and whatnot.
You?
I have. I'm that nerd.
Wow.
Well, they did a lot of that.
They did.
The original Mega Man only had 6 bad guys.
Well, in the Japanese version
had all 8.
No, it had 6.
It only had 6? I know that they've recently gone back and...
They did a re-release where they added 2 people, but
it's
America
It didn't have enough memory for all 8. Was when they originally did it. And then, they went back and added like 2 other... Because all of them before that, all of the ones since have been 8 robots.
Well,
and that one was originally 8 robots.
Another difference with the Japanese Zelda is the Japanese Nintendo, the Famicom, which is family computer, the controller had a mic on it, so you could like talk into the mic or make sounds into the mic, which would interact with the game. And in Zelda, there is an enemy. You meet an old man who tells you so-and-so dislikes sounds. In the Japanese version, if you blow into the mic or you say something into the mic when you run across that enemy, it instantly kills them.
Holy crap, that's amazing.
It has been removed from the American version of the game because there is no mic.
Yeah.
But that dialogue is still in there.
I remember that dialogue.
Yeah. So you just have to kill them with a sword like you normally would.
Yeah, it was Dodongo, right?
It was like Digger Donger or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a creature who is weak to the warp whistle.
Yes, that was the crab,
there's a second creature who's weak to speaking into the mic. I think it's the bunnies, the bunny creatures.
Oh, yeah, that hover around. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Which are a real pain in the ass
to kill. I hate those guys. Yeah. Least favorite enemy.
Yeah. Least favorite enemy?
No, what's yours?
The guy who eats your shield.
I hate that guy. I hate the wall hand the most.
Yeah, that was so terrifying.
The wall hand doesn't cost me money.
I hated the ghosts.
The wall hand...
lasers, and they would come at you in groups of six across the board.
Oh, the wizards?
And just...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many times I got all the way through a dungeon and had half a heart left at the end of the dungeon just because of those assholes.
Or the knights that would keep stabbing you and they would make the little sound every
you
time
can
you
only stab them from
you
the side.
You can only get them from the side, so you'd have to like wait for them to run at you and then and jab them that way.
Now, this might be incorrect, but were those guys called Dark Nut?
Yeah.
It was a mistranslation of Dark Knight.
Well, you've got you've got Moblins, you've got Staffels, you've got Dark Nuts.
Dark Nuts.
Dark Nuts. You've got Likes. What else is there?
I always thought that was Like Like.
Is it Like Like? I don't know.
It's more fun, though.
It's probably Like Like.
I remember the Octoroks.
Octoroks.
And Zoras.
The Dodongos, the Triceratop-looking things.
Yeah. Which was the dumbest-looking boss that you fight in the whole game.
That's the one you have to blow the head off the...
Yeah, you gotta hit him with bombs.
Put bombs in front of him and hit him. You've got Goma, the crab guy who you've gotta shoot in the eye.
I thought the coolest one was the one that had like a center like sphere, right? And then like arms coming off of it, you know? What was that guy called? Internet.
Oh, mighty Internet. Well,
the amoeba creature.
The amoeba. I don't know. I don't remember his name. I remember the three-headed
amoeba
dragon.
Jake.
Who became like a four-headed dragon later on?
It's like a
Hydra.
It was essentially the Hydra. Yeah.
Well, that's Zelda.
Well, that's
see you guys
that's
next week.
Moving on, something you mentioned again, Charlie. What were we talking about? You said something, and I said we need to talk about that later on.
Narrow it down, Chris.
I don't know.
Zelda 2. Metroid.
I think it was something about the design of the game.
Oh, about how it was it was taken almost directly from the old like wizards and sorcerer games where you had to
experiment, like you had to reason.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to talk about. This
you had
game,
to try things. It worked.
Yeah, and like, are you guys looking up a list of
Look
all
at
yeah.
the bosses?
Oh, Manhandler. Sorry, that was the crab guy. It was a center thing and all the things coming out.
Yeah.
That's a horrifying creature if you actually see it.
It's a really awful name.
If you put a bomb in the right spot, he goes down in one hit.
I know, but
the manhandler.
If you don't, then you have four vicious claws of crabs coming at you.
If you cut one off, he gets faster.
Oh, he gets so fast.
Those crab claws are kind of like the piranha plants of Super Mario.
Yeah, but this one's like their mother. He's the Shelob of those.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Cross nerdification.
Oh, yes.
It's getting real deep in here.
Yeah, the design of this game is really fascinating to me because it goes back and forth between, like, you have the freedom to go wherever you want. But when you, like, for instance, go into the first dungeon, this game is really, really amazing at essentially teaching you how to play it without ever really saying a word. Like, so for instance, when you go into the first dungeon, you have three ways you can go. The way forward, however, there's a door with a key. So you know, okay, there's keys. So you can go right or left. So if you go right, you see all these skeletons wandering around, but one of them has a key inside of him that you can see.
Yeah.
So you know, all right, I know enemies carry keys. So you kill all of them, you get the key. So you could go forward or you could go left. If you go left, you come into a room with a bunch of bats. And it's like, okay, this is just a room of bats. Well, if you decide to kind of explore and kill everything, after you've killed all the bats, a key appears.
Mm-hmm.
So now you know some enemies carry keys. Keys will only appear if you kill everything.
Well, with a lot of those, really, it does force you, because like the door would close and lock.
Yeah.
So not only would the key appear once you killed all the monsters, the door you came in unlocks and opens. So it was one of those things that like you made the choice to come in here and now you got to finish it.
Yeah, and really there's, once you're in there and a bunch of stuff is trying to kill you and you can't get out, your automatic response is to, well, I'll kill everything.
Yeah.
And then, well, you know, killing things opens doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And then, yeah, once you've killed everything and you're standing there exhausted, you know, your bloodlust has left you, and you're just drenched in the gore of your enemies, you know, you're
that's
just
when you need
in,
a woman.
Yeah.
Maybe that's when my problem with the game. My Link just cowered in the corner and cried.
Mine always called his friends to come get him.
Mine was horrible. And he got really, really, like weepy when he lost his big shield, you know?
It was so expensive.
It's so expensive.
It's 160 rubies.
And it was like, oh, come on, guys. What are you just walked up and just took like 160 rubies. I can't even save more than
255. Yeah.
Right, I can't tell you the last time I lost a weapon during D&D. You never lose weapons in that game.
No.
Unless you run into a rust monster, sons of bitches.
It plays on your fear. Like, people value their equipment. They can value their equipment so much more in their life.
I'll give you whatever you want, man. I'll stop my quest. I just need my stuff.
I'll die. I can continue.
Don't take my shit.
How do I get to my mom's house? It's 3 blocks away.
Speaking of things being so expensive, do you recall a shop that you go into where the text of the shop owner is like, it's so expensive?
Yep. By the way, this stuff is expensive.
Yeah, yes. I'm like, why are you telling me this?
Because he's a terrible salesman.
He is.
And one of the most important items, the blue ring, is the maximum amount of rubies that you can hold.
Yeah.
255 rubies.
Yeah.
But that ring is really worth it.
Oh, yeah.
What does the ring do?
Halves your damage.
Oh, that's
wow.
Handy.
See, that's great, because I remember playing that game and having only those 3 damn hearts for like 90% of the time I played. Because it's so hard to, I mean, until you start killing, you know, bosses.
Yeah.
You don't get any hearts. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Well, what's funny is you can go through all the dungeons, but then your hearts won't be maxed out. So then you think, oh my God, are there hearts in the overworld? Oh, yeah. I gotta burn every tree.
Or the first time you walk past that ocean coast and you see the heart out on the island.
I know.
And you're like, this is part of the game now? Like, all right, you've done this.
Right.
Like, what do you...
Well, when you see the little piers, and at first you're like, what's that? And then somebody mentions later a raft. And then first time you do it, you're like, oh, step out onto here. And you go across the water and you're like,
this is amazing,
right.
And now
I'm going
I am
to conquer
healthier.
This realm and make myself king.
All right, here we go. Quick lightning round. Favorite weapon in this game?
Okay. Oh, for me, it's got to be, you know, I'm a sword guy. It's got to be any of the swords, honestly. I like to get up close and personal.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I know, I popped
all right, all right. It's, I'm a sword guy, too. I don't want to be a jerk, but
right?
Fully charged Master Sword, when you can just zap them from across the room and it makes that awesome lightning bolt, you know, shoot
that
out.
That sound effect is, like, ingrained in my childhood.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can still... I can't describe it, but I can hear it, you know? And I just... It makes you not want to take a lick of damage ever.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible thing. Like, that's cool.
There's something about the sword shooting beams of energy that is just... great. I don't
it just it reminds you of being 3 years old and wanting like pure
magic,
like, eldritch power to shoot from your friggin' palms, you know?
Like, I wanted eldritch power as a 3 year old.
You couldn't describe it as eldritch
like
power, but you knew what it was.
Lightning bolts from your eyes.
Yeah.
Balls
yeah.
of fire from your arse.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark? Rob?
Well, Rob, do
go,
you want to
go ahead?
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, for me, of course, sword. I mean, the sword is effectively your main weapon, so that's what I would use all the time. But I really liked the boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that you can grab stuff with it.
Yeah,
that
was an incredible.
The
way
cool convention.
The way it animates, like, just the animation for it is really, really good. It just
it comes
really
back
smooth.
To you no matter what you throw
and
it,
and
I
you
used
get
to throw it,
one.
Run away.
Yeah,
and have it, like,
yeah.
Pull it
I
back.
Would do that too.
And you would leave the screen, and it would still come back to you.
Right.
I thought that was incredible. Where I was like, this is pretty advanced.
It got to the point where I wouldn't walk around to pick up rubies. I would just fling the boomerang and just stand at the.
You
door.
Could be like 4 paces away from it, and you would like purposely line up so that you could do it.
It was like a weapon and a pet at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
it always came back.
What's really funny about that is you can very easily miss the magical boomerang because you have to kill all these guys in one room to get it to appear. Like, you don't go down underneath to get it in a special room.
No, yeah.
Room.
It's one of the snakes. It's the snake room, right?
It's the snake dungeon, but you kill these guys who are throwing out blue boomerangs, which is kind of a hint. Like, hey, these guys' boomerangs are blue.
Yeah.
You know?
Those orange dogs. What are they called?
They're like moblins, but with boomerangs.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, are you talking about the
They look
centaurs?
Like bulldogs. They look like bulldogs wearing coach uniforms.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought you were talking about the centaurs.
I love that we all have our own version of what these things look like.
That's what I thought of. Yeah. I was like, hey, it's Coach Dog. Coach Dog, what are you doing with that? A boomerang.
Wait, a magical boomerang?
Which I should kill the coach.
Which goes the entire length of the screen.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was so great.
And freezes enemies if it hits them.
Yeah, that's what I used. That's why I always equipped it. I would barely use the bow and arrow because it used up rubies, which I hated.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not spending my money on that.
Because here's the thing, you buy the arrows, so when you shoot them, you're spending more money?
Yeah.
Then you never really bought them.
No, you're sort of leasing them.
Yeah. You're leasing them
from the so expensive.
Yeah, but you're given money so often in the game.
True.
You're replenishing arrows without having to go back to the place to buy more arrows. Mm. It's just as long as you can keep rupees in your pocket, you can keep firing arrows. It's a simple way to not.
It's a subscription service.
Yeah, it's a simple way to. Yeah. It's the first Netflix.
It's the first DLC.
Rob?
I'd probably go with the bomb because I used to try and kill everything with bombs.
Bombs are really helpful.
Yeah. It was very satisfying.
That was pretty cool.
Something great, even when you're a young boy, about explosions.
They're great.
That's when they're the best.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's like, I want to blow up the cat. That's why my parents were there to stop me from doing that.
That's what parents are for.
Link's got bombs.
I love grenades in games.
Yeah, they're awesome because they also bring that element of danger. You could hurt yourself with this.
You can.
Thing.
Yep.
Well, that was great.
That and also, especially later on games where you actually throw a grenade, you feel more accomplished than when you fire a gun that you get to aim.
Yeah.
With a grenade, you have to
line up your throw.
Make that call. Like, can I bounce this off that wall to hit the guy around the corner? And when you do, you're like, I am fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yep.
There it is.
That's where it went.
There it is.
Yeah. Well, no. I broke it earlier.
Oh, did you? I missed it.
Yeah. Right up front, like 2 seconds into it.
Yeah, he just said that word and we kept going.
Rob, do you have any questions you want to ask so far as the outcast you are?
I'm kind of curious as to what everybody's favorite Zelda game is.
Oh. All right, hold that for the end.
Dang it.
Because I have that question on deck. We'll talk about that.
Deck.
It's kind of loaded into the chamber.
Here's another thing. Sorry.
I do have a question.
You go ahead.
What is your question?
Well done. My question is, why is she always getting taken?
Right. Yeah,
because there's like the one Zelda game where I think she is somebody else in the game, and she's actually kind of a badass.
All right, here's the answer to this, to the best of my knowledge. The Zelda in the first game and in The Adventure of Link are two different women.
What?
The Zelda in Ocarina of Time, theoretically, they're all different women.
I thought it was just a different story each time, was it not?
No, there's a chronology.
Read this chronology without even playing all of the Zelda games. I've read this chronology, and it's the most detailed thing imaginable. Like, it loops back on itself because of Ocarina.
There's three different timelines.
Yes, thank you. It's like super lost.
It's
holy crap.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Are you going to try and explain that right now?
I'm not going to try and explain the Zelda timeline because it's that complicated.
Oh, wow. That's a flowchart and a half.
Yeah. There's an actual flowchart.
Okay, so it's The Legend of Zelda, this girl who continues to get taken by this evil
monster.
She's
so kidnappable.
But yet, the legend's about Link, which, as you said before, it's a misnomer.
Well, but she's really the ruler of the land,
it's true,
right?
It's true, but it's his adventures that are saving her every time, and the land.
Someone once said to me that it's The Legend of Zelda because Zelda is always the catalyst for the events that cause that legend. Mm. Either she's being taken or she did something for an imprint, she's always the reason for whatever that thing is going to occur.
I think it's kind of interesting, too, because there's sort of a thing where it's a little more selfless if it's not named after him, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like,
Zelda 2.
I'm Link, and here I go, and ba-ba-doo-ba-doo, it's like, this is about a girl, guys. It's gonna be rough for me for a while.
It's about a girl.
Yeah. The one good thing, though, is the character of Link always starts out the same.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
If it's true, all the girls are different, Link always starts out the same. He doesn't know much about his past. Mm. And he's just kind of this young
drifter
kid.
This young handsome boy looking
he's,
for work.
What is he? The Kokiri?
He's not
a Kokiri.
He's not. He's a Hylian.
Yeah, but he has grown with the Kokiri. So
okay, who's he's the like Kokiri? An
Ewok. Well, the Kokiri appear in Ocarina of Time. They're not in the original game.
Are those the little pod-looking people?
They're like a leaf
no,
hat.
No, they look like the Hylians, only small.
They look
like children.
Let me put it to you like this. This Zelda, according to the timeline they created, supposedly last year.
Okay.
The world of Hyrule has fallen into disarray. The Triforce has been separated.
Several times.
The Triforce is no longer tied to people, because the Triforce used to be actually physically tied to specific people like Ganon, Zelda, Link. Yeah. You know what's really strange is the Triforce of Courage isn't even in this game, but that's a separate discussion. The world is in disarray, and Impa, the Keeper of Secrets, finds Link, who is supposed to be a young boy. He's supposed to be like 10 in this game, somewhere around there.
That's who I want going after my princess.
Yeah, I know. Essentially tells him about the legend of Zelda, who has been kidnapped by Ganon. In the second Zelda game, it is a different Zelda that he's rescuing. Huh. Same Link.
Different Zelda.
Different Zelda. The one the legend is actually named after. It's very confusing. I'll let you look at this
later. Okay.
Yeah, later.
I will
Chris
read
is
that
gesturing
cover to,
cover.
To
a big book.
To a big
about
book.
Zelda.
His tome.
I'll pimp this at the end of the podcast.
I do have another question.
What's up?
Now, this is talking about a specific game because I thought this one looked really cool and kind of wanted to play it, but did not own the system it came out on. The Twilight Princess?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Who is the Twilight Princess?
Spoilers!
The Twilight Princess is a woman named Midna. Her people were cast out of Hyrule when they tried to take the dark magic power and use it against the Hyruleans, the Hylians, sorry. And they sealed them away, I believe, with the Triforce. It's been a little while since I played Twilight Princess. But Zelda's actually not in that game very much. But her actions spurn the events that follow.
That's the one where he becomes a wolf?
Yeah.
Is he cursed, or is this a power?
He is supposed to be cursed, but because he has got the Triforce of Courage, he is able to exist in his most primal form, which is a wolf for courage. Huh. I think that's supposed to be a very Japanese thing.
If I could return to the question of why does Zelda keep getting kidnapped?
Yeah.
I think, you know, she's the ruler of the land. And so that's why the evil people have to take her down. Because,
true.
Get better guards.
It's a recurring theme.
Yeah, it's a mythical save the princess.
So Ganon just wanted love, or Ganon
It's Mario, and it's...
No, with Ganon... With him, every time he takes Zelda, he's trying to get the Triforce. That gives him power. And in the original game, they called the Triforce Wisdom. Later on, they split the Triforce into three: Wisdom, Power, and Courage.
Well, Wisdom and Power are in the first game. Yeah, okay. He's got power.
All right.
Yeah, he's got power. That's why he's got power.
And thank you, Zach.
Because then when there was that very short-lived cartoon series that came on with Fire Brothers,
what a
he had the power.
So
bad. Yeah.
Oh, what a bad show.
Excuse me, Red Princess.
Excuse me, Princess.
And, yeah. Like, Link is...
What was that on
douche.
Every Friday after like four episodes of
the
Mario,
Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
All week.
Only on Fridays.
I don't
did
remember
that
any of that.
You don't remember the old Super Mario cartoon?
I don't remember.
Super Mario would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Friday.
My girlfriend actually has some of the VHS of these.
Really?
Yeah, she's running over there to get them. Where are they?
I hide them downstairs.
They're downstairs?
I know.
Why would you hide them?
Display them.
We wanted to
watch
them.
On the podcast.
The
that's fair.
Actually, you can buy them quite easily. Go to any Toys R Us in the land, and they have them. They have the Legend of Zelda.
Us.
There's like eight of them.
There's
left.
The Mario Brothers, the Super Mario Brothers 3 show.
Yeah.
Captain N.
Yes.
Do you remember Captain N?
I remember that.
Oh. I'm pretty sure it's on
you
Netflix.
You don't grok Captain N?
Mario Brothers is on Netflix. The others are
was,
not.
Was Captain N. Savage in that? Was John Savage?
Captain
Fred
N.
Savage.
Fred Savage, yeah.
Was it?
That was a joke
no.
about the game.
No.
Yeah, Captain N was a pretty great
dragon.
But no, I mean I haven't I haven't played the Twilight Princess, but when it came out, it looked really, really good. I haven't really moved past the N64 when it comes to my consoles yet.
Fair enough.
So
you got a life.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I have a modified Xbox at home with 2,000 games on it.
Holy.
Yeah, it's got all the Sega,
so
all the Sega Master System.
Now.
Not
it's
that we
got,
can
hey,
condone
I
emulation.
Own it. I own it, and all of the emulators that are on it are free to download on the internet, so I have done nothing wrong.
Technically illegal.
Wow.
I'm in. You can show me that.
I will bring that.
Moving,
I can bring that next time.
Moving on, we're pushing close to an hour here, so I just want to talk about a few more things and then wrap up with a few questions. I want to talk about the music.
Mm.
This... music was composed by Koji Kondo, who did the theme for Super Mario Brothers and Zelda, are the two that he's most well known for, but he's gone on to work on additional Nintendo franchises. I have to say, like, when you load this game up and it has the waterfall there with the golden Triforce just glowing in front of you and the music is playing, like, that just takes me away. I'm gone.
Wow. What? That was
You don't like that?
Everyone has a favorite game then, and usually it's your favorite because it hits all the senses.
Yeah.
I mean, from the music, you know, sound, you've got your sights in the game. Even, I mean, you can remember smells. Smell is the strongest of all the senses. It's because it's directly tied to your brain. Here's where you smell, right here. And it's right there. So
he's pointing to his nose, folks.
Those of you on the radio.
So it's one of those things that, like, you know, when you say playing a video game, what smells are you going to remember? You can still remember, like, if you laid on your stomach while playing the game, you can remember the smell of your carpet. You can remember the smell of your dog sitting next to you. And these are things that you will remember from playing this game. And it's, like I said, it's your favorite game because it hit all of your senses. So you will remember it in depth.
The music was one that hit hard with me. And in fact, Zelda gave me my first taste of nostalgia later on, right? Like, remember the first time you ever felt nostalgic about anything? Let's talk about nostalgia.
How the scent of you clings.
But it was like, I think it was early college or late high school was when they started coming out with all these, like, remixes of songs, like, video game 8-bit started getting really popular.
Tetris Techno Remix.
Yeah, yes. And then they had
love those Russians
covers. Like, people would do covers of old video game songs, and I just remember hearing old covers of The Legend of Zelda that I was like, this is the most incredible thing. And then this was also when, you know, people were starting to download things, you know, like, that was a thing. You could download a whole album in a night.
Remember when you download things and you put them on your phone as your ringer, as opposed to now you can download directly on your phone.
Yeah.
A lot of people would get the old video game ringtones because, again, like you said, nostalgia.
I mean, it was like, what a taste, you know, like to feel nostalgic about something as cool as that. It was like, was a big deal for me. Like, I got really into it.
Have you heard of the Hyrule Symphony tour that they're doing?
I have not. Tell me.
So 2011 was the 25th anniversary of the Zelda franchise, mm-hmm. and they celebrated it by releasing Skyward Sword, the newest game, but they also released Symphony Tour, where it's essentially orchestrations and arrangements done by an actual symphony, touring around the United States, Japan, Europe, and whatnot.
I think I read an item on Reddit about that.
It came through Chicago, I think, like in October. Tickets were like $90. I couldn't get out to see it. But it's supposed to be really, really amazing.
Bucks, yeah.
There's an interesting video on the internet. There's a violinist. Her name is Lindsay something, like Lindsay Stringer or Lindsay Strong.
St. Ong.
What?
She's Lindsay St. Ong.
Is that who she is?
O-N-G-E, I think. Huh. Yeah, because...
Is this her doing, like, on the violin and, like, out in the woods? And...
Yes!
Oh, I've seen
this.
This
woman dressed as a blue Link.
Yes.
With elf ears and everything, and she's, like, dancing around, prancing in the forest, and playing these Zelda-themed medleys.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like, if you look at it, just look at it, it's super nerdy. You're like, this is lame. But then you're kind of like, I secretly love this. Like, the Zelda music played by a real instrument.
It sounds really good on a violin.
Yeah.
It sounds great on a violin.
It's very heroic, classic, kind of epic, go out on your horse and find adventure theme.
Yeah, it is. Kind of along the lines of the Zelda Symphony, have you guys ever heard of Video Games Live?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That came through Chicago about 2-3 years ago, and I went to see that. And it's all of these orchestrations and rock versions of, like,
Sterling.
Mega Man, Sterling. Final Fantasy, Zelda, Mario. And it was a really, really fascinating concert to go watch. I highly recommend it if it comes back through. I'll send you all an email if it comes through.
I would love to receive an email from you, my friend.
You will get an email.
Okay, great.
Lindsay Sterling is her name. Sorry, internet.
So one last thing to talk about and then final questions. So you go, you collect all the pieces of the Triforce, you get the silver arrows, you kill Ganon, you save Zelda, and then there's a second quest.
Oof.
It's essentially a second game.
Oh, my mind was blown.
There's a whole second quest built into The Legend of Zelda.
That I never played, apparently, then.
It's much harder. They move some of the dungeons around, they move the items and enemy placements around, and everything is essentially different now. I think that's amazing. Yeah. They essentially provided the sequel for the game with the game, almost.
Well, they gave you a reason to come back, and even returning again to like that open world concept, right? Like where you have like these sandbox games that do that now, right? Where after you beat the story, like they give you a reason to come back and keep playing the game, mm-hmm. you know, and soak up all the side missions.
What was the second quest? What was
You're still hunting for the pieces of the Triforce, and then you still have to go fight Ganon. Everything has just been redone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's so not like a different story or anything like that.
They mix up the bosses, they mix up the dungeons, like there are new locations for dungeons that were never in dungeon locations okay. before. Mm-hmm. Some of them are the same location, but they're a different level of dungeon now, so you could walk into the level 2... I don't know exactly, but you could walk into the level 2 dungeon and it's actually the level 7 dungeon, so it's super intense, you know?
Yeah. It's really hard. I've never beaten the second quest. I find the first quest satiates me, so... No need to play the second quest, at least for me.
I didn't know there was a second quest.
Yeah. And you can access it... If you enter your name as Zelda, you'll access the second quest immediately.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So... Zelda has to save herself.
Yeah.
Dressed as Link.
Oh my god, it's a psychological metaphor.
It's dangerous to go alone.
It's dangerous to go alone, and then he just gives him a sword.
Then he stabs him.
He doesn't stab him. He's still alone, he's just armed.
Yeah, but here's what he's saying.
The sword is with him.
Treat the sword as a human.
The sword is your brother.
Love it.
It's what warriors do. Their weapon is their friend.
Yeah, their weapon is their friend, their lover.
It protects them.
Their partner. Cooling.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Ouch.
It's true. Right. It's true.
Master Sword, huh?
We're pushing close to an hour here.
We're going to 2 hours.
We're going to sit tight.
I understand as soon as we complete this episode, we can go back for an immediate second version of this episode.
We'll all talk differently. We're going to switch shirts. Yeah.
We're going to change places.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the shirts matter.
Well, you know, just change it.
It'll be the same conversation.
We'll have Chris's girlfriend here where Chris can leave.
Yeah.
She can lead this whole podcast.
So before I get to final thoughts and questions, Rob, do you have any questions so far as the Outcast or anything that you want to talk about that we haven't hit on? And you can feel free.
Can I ask that question again?
You'll get to ask that question dead last.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
So I want to go around the table here real quick before we get to Rob's final question. So any final thoughts or anything we didn't talk about that you'd like to mention about the game?
I mean, there's so much. There's so much that we haven't even...
Well, we've got a little time here.
I do actually have a question.
Shut up, Rob.
I know. I know, I'm a jackass. Why did they change the art style so radically for, like,
Windtalker. Yeah, yeah. Talker of the Winds.
Yeah.
It kind of got cartoony.
Yeah, it got really cartoony.
That came with the Wii.
I thought maybe Double Fine.
These games got very cartoony.
GameCube game.
Is it a GameCube?
It's a GameCube game.
Yeah, that's GameCube, yeah.
You know, it's really funny. Like, a lot of people hated that art style. In hindsight, it's one of the best Zeldas.
Really? Yeah.
It's a great game. And that art style, because it is so cartoony, is not dated.
Inadvertently answer my other question?
No, I didn't. that game looks like a cartoon in motion, which is really impressive. It looks very, very beautiful. But yeah, they changed it because they wanted to change it. It's what they wanted to do. They did Ocarina of Time. They did like a very realistic, mature, gritty game. They wanted to.
I thought that's what Twilight Princess was.
Twilight Princess was the reaction to the fans who hated Wind Waker.
Yeah, I thought it looked silly.
I think
it's a great game. Don't let the art design belie how great a game it is.
I think there's a bit of anime infection that happens with a lot of games. Like Mega Man got real anime as it progressed. Yeah. Like Street Fighter got more anime in style. And I think that Zelda is subject to that as well. Like if you play Zelda 64, some of the dudes have like big boshunin, is that the word? Hair? Like the big chunky hair that's off to the side.
Well, have you seen the artwork for the original Legend of Zelda though? It's very anime. It's just 1984 anime. You know, I mean, it's from Japan. That's the art style that they're dealing with. And Mega Man is deliberately supposed to be designed off Astro Boy.
Oh, yes.
That makes sense.
And, I mean, look at Astro Boy.
Yeah. Pretty much Mega Man without it.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be a boy.
Well, in the first Mega Man, he's that is just a helmet that comes on. You see him with hair waving in the wind.
Yeah,
the helmet.
He looks a lot like Astro Boy.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about Mega Man.
Mega Man.
Mega Man.
Mega Man. He's my air freshener in my car right now.
Oh, that's awesome. What, yes.
What does he, yeah, what's he smell? Is he Woodman?
He actually success. Smells wonderful.
Smells like adventure.
Mega Man, more powerful than cigarettes. Believe it today.
Bringing everlasting peace and great
kind
smells.
Kind of one of the yeah. most powerful of all good guys. I mean, he took down what? Well over 120 robots?
He's taken down a
well,
lot of robots.
Thousands of little ones, but I'm talking about the main man.
And
God bless
tobacco.
Him, he's never heard of him. Thank for that. Asimovian programming.
Rush, come to me!
Okay, sorry to interrupt your question.
Yeah. Did you have I know your one question that you really want to ask.
No, I asked the question, the art stuff.
Yeah, anything else that you want to talk about?
Yes.
What do you want to talk about?
Zelda was pretty special in that you had, like, items. You had multiple items, and you had that little inventory kind of menu.
That was so cool. Mm-hmm.
Look at all my things!
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't play computer games at that point in time because I was just a little kid, you know, I wasn't allowed near the computer. I wasn't poor. I was quite wealthy. But
he has golden diamond teeth, by the way, everybody.
Yes. So it was kind of like this is the beginning of what RPG games will develop. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got your stuff now. Mario didn't have stuff. You could get a temporary star, a temporary fire flower, and that wore off.
It's essentially what RPGs are. It's a way to play all these other games, but collect a bunch of cool stuff at the same time.
It always usually is needed for something. For can be used generally, but it usually has a specific reason.
I don't
reason.
Know, man. There's a lot of stuff that is pointless.
Well,
that I keep
the
anyway.
bombs. Yeah, but every single one of the things you collect in the game.
Oh no, yeah.
Is used for one specific thing, game, but can go on to other things. Bombs, for instance. Rob, you like to use them to kill everything.
Oh yeah.
Mostly just used to open the walls.
Yeah.
And then there's that one boss with the.
With the Triceratops, the worst boss.
So it's you have all these great items that you've collected, and each one of them has its time in the sun.
Yeah. You know what I really like about that is if on the opening screen after it fades, it tells you the story. Then it proceeds to show you everything you can get in the game. And as a kid, that is kind of overwhelming because it's like, oh my gosh, bombs, magical potion, second potion, meat. What do you use meat for?
And it was so cool when you got something new and weird and you were like, what
and you
is
just
this
throw it out there to see what it does. And you're like,
I just wasted my only meat.
Damn it.
I hate the meat. That's my least favorite item.
What is the meat do?
You need the meat to get past one really grumpy goblin
and that's
in
it.
A dungeon.
And that's it.
That's it.
And that's the only time you ever need it, and that's it.
You can't kill him. If you strike him, he shoots invincible fireballs at you, and he will eventually kill you unless you leave the room.
And you've had it in your inventory forever, and you're like, when am I gonna eat this meat?
He's more powerful than Ganon, but he's hungry. So he needs
meat.
His one weakness.
Uncooked
meat.
Is delicious.
Ganon is well fed.
Well, no, it's not. Uncooked.
That's been sitting in your bag for
weeks.
It's
a mutton.
I'm sure it's been salted so it can be traveled with in the medieval world.
It's jerky.
Don't make it okay.
And when you hand it to him, you stab him with it and he dies.
No, that doesn't happen.
He just
looks
he
like
just
it.
He just disappears. Magically.
Where are all these
and why
guys
do old men always disappear?
You know what?
Why did all of them die
like Yoda?
You know what I hate about the old men is when you get to them, you have to have a certain number of hearts to acquire the sword. So if you don't, they're like, oh, be strong enough and you can master it.
Right?
And if you're not, you just can't do anything.
Why can't you just kill the old man?
Broke my heart the first time I saw that. And I was like, what? But I don't have enough. I just found you in a graveyard.
How am I going to remember? I got to draw this on my graph paper.
I ran past all the monsters. They're outside waiting for me.
Did any of you like try and map out
the graveyard? No. I was going to map out, and then I was like, why don't I just push every grave instead?
And kind of like burn every tree.
And then I did, and it was on the fourth screen that I got to. Like, there's four graveyard screens. It was on the fourth one.
Nice.
Because I'm super lucky. It's a pattern in my life.
It's always the fourth. Yeah. Fourth
it's
one.
Always the very last
spot.
Spot, yeah.
The answer is 50 graves away. That's what I've learned about life. I don't know if this is nationalist or racist. But I think in Japanese culture, there's kind of a thing about collecting and categorizing.
There is,
Pokemon, you gotta catch them all. And there's so many different types, and the idea is, like, get every single one. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, model enthusiasts and collectors of different things, like the Kotaku, like, super nerd who gets everything. And I think there's an element of that in the Zelda games where you can get all the different items.
You've been to Japan, right?
Hi.
When you went to Japan, that's cool. Did you ride the trains?
Yeah. Oh, the trains are awesome.
Because I've heard, like, you get special stickers and stamps at each train station, and it's like something that the Japanese people like to do is like collect the train stamps.
Yeah,
did you see that?
There's like a kid's passport type thing. You can get a booklet, and at different train stops they have stamps with different like cartoon characters or symbols of the different cities, and you can stamp your little book and collect them all.
Do they really push you on the train with giant Swiffer brooms?
I don't know if that happens. I didn't see it there, and I was in Tokyo at rush hour, but I might have been in a neighborhood that wasn't super busy.
You were an American, so you got your own
car,
right?
They were like, stay away from that filthy barbarian. Everyone crowd into the women-only car, which they have at rush hour. It's called the Pink Train. They have it because there is a bit of a problem with dudes trying to cop a feel of ladies on a crowded train.
I heard about that. I read an article about that. A really filthy article.
Just like Zelda.
I mean,
I only read the articles in that one as well.
I think you're right. They do have this mentality of collecting, and they also have this mentality of like working hard to achieve a goal. Hence, like why role playing games like Final Fantasy and Dragon Warrior are huge hits over there. Like if I keep persevering at something, I will eventually succeed.
Reach perfection. But it's the complete. I got a soft spot on my spine. For completion, like when you accomplish all of the different trees, you know, like if you build out all of the powers, like I just had that in this is a digression, I'm sure, but that happens in Far Cry 3, which is a game I'm playing right now.
Tattoo.
Yeah, exactly. Where you can finish out and get every skill, which I did. I went ahead and did that as fast as I could.
Nice.
I have tried my damnedest for years to get every one of those damn Skullatullas.
Oh,
golden
coins. I hate
coins.
Those things.
I
never get them.
98.
What were we talking about?
In Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time.
You can get 100.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the final thing you get is the biggest wallet.
I think you get the biggest wallet before that.
Like, it doesn't really.
You
think
turn
you
them back into human.
Well,
which is,
the last one you get is the father. The father is the final one. He's in the center of the room. He's the last one to come
super
back.
Super creepy.
And so basically, each time you get 10 of them, one of the kids comes back. So like, you get to the point where you go in this house and all the kids are fine, but the dad's still a spider because I've only got 98 of the 100, and I had the book. That told you where everything was at. And I still can't find it because I also haven't found all the hearts. I think I have 19 of the 20 hearts. Oh. And I have 1/4 piece. So 19 and 1/4 piece. And that is the thing that has made me mad all of these years.
Ocarina?
I have, like, as much time as I spent on that game.
and not to
be able
completion
to finish.
Yet.
And they're just little side quests. But I want to know what they're going to give
you
me.
You
want to
know.
They're going to give me a rupee worth 500. I know that's what it's going to be. And I'm going to be like, are you kidding? And I'm going to slaughter
years.
That whole family. I will kill the whole family.
With the Master
Zelda,
Sword.
Zelda's gotten really good about like teasing you now, because like when you play a game now, and when you go to the menu screen, like you look at your inventory and you have all these blank spots, and you're like, what goes there? What goes there?
Right.
What
yeah.
goes there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I'm going to get something. Oh, there's like 48 things I'm going to get. What are they going
to
be?
And each one has its own little design. Of
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's supposed to be
that's
going
to be an arrow.
Here's the silhouette.
But there's two
arrows. What's going in there?
Like I even got the ice arrows, which are like the most difficult ones to get because of that stupid dungeon you're running around in where the
thieves desert
are at.
Yeah, you have to go through the thief
because
trial.
You can't tell where you have been because it's all these grated fences.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking around, and if you don't have the stupid little lens, you can't tell that you have to climb up.
That's
and
right.
there's a false ceiling.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that without knowing that, because you get to a point where you're like, I've unlocked every door. There's no more keys to get. I can see the damn treasure chest. How do I get... I got that. But I can't get some... And those spiders don't move. So there's two spiders out there that I'm going to find and I'm going to kill.
and then I'm going to go get my 500 rupees and then slaughter a family.
Have you tried torturing other monsters to give up the whereabouts of the spiders?
I have. I
would. Zero Dark 30 situation.
And not just,
I would.
And not just monsters. I went back to the... The rock people. Because you can't really hurt them. But I burned them a little bit. And
well, that rock people, I would assume, are impervious to fire.
Well, what you do is you tie them down and you smash their fingers with the hammer.
All right.
So, you start cranking them.
Breaks in the, right. But you use their children first. Oh, yeah. Scares the adults.
This actually sounds like a game I would love.
Let's bring it back.
All right, we'll talk about Ocarina of Time some other time. Okay. We're pushing over an hour, so I've got to unfortunately wrap this up.
Okay, done.
Rob, ask the question you wanted to ask.
Oh, I forgot what it was.
I hate you.
Who here is still a virgin? Is that the question?
What is your favorite Zelda game?
All right. I guess I'll go first. My favorite Zelda game is Twilight Princess. It's probably not my most favorite to replay, but as far as like the first time I ever played it, like it having a great effect on me or just really walking away from it, just being completely amazed, probably Twilight Princess. Just because for me it was like Ocarina of Time, but even more well done. Mm. And Ocarina of Time was already amazing. So yeah, I'd go with Twilight.
Well, I would have to go with Ocarina of Time. I consider it the staple of the Zelda world. It acted as both a prequel and as a kind of, it like, kind of changed everything.
It's a linchpin.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Though I never got to play Majora's Mask.
I hear that's really good.
You should check it out.
I hated that.
I heard it's really annoying because of the fact that it deals with time. So yeah. There's a lot of things where you're going back and forth, back mm-hmm. to where you've been, and
I
you
got
have to.
So frustrating.
Yeah, and you get lost because you have to. Like, you have to go back to this time, then you go back to the future, then you have to go back to the time to get around this because in the future it's blocked and blah blah. I heard it's really annoying, but I never bought the little expansion you had to add to your.
Yeah, Super you have to buy. Them.
You have to buy. Yeah. You have to buy something to add to your console to play this game.
You needed additional RAM that you had to buy for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
So.
And this is one of the two games that took advantage of it.
But Ocarina of Time, definitely. It's got some of the best mini-games.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you can like do little carny games.
Tons of them. Yeah. Well, the masks, the... Yeah. I mean, you go get the other weapons, trying to get the Bagoron sword.
Yeah.
That is a quest of its own right there.
Now I kind of want to play this game again.
Zach?
I'm original Zelda all the way.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't say Link to the Past.
Side-scrolling? Really? Okay, anyway.
That's not side-scrolling. No. Well, that's the one for the Super
Nintendo. That's Nintendo. SNES.
Oh, is that the SNES? Yeah. Okay, that's... No, that was a great one.
He already had his rage on deck.
He did. He was ready to, like,
in case anyone said Zelda 2. What?
Okay. No. Link to the Past was fun. I remember that one. Kill chickens or whatever.
The original.
Yeah. Nice. The original for me, all the way. There's... For me, it's got so much replay value. Like...
Yeah.
And now that I'm a grown-ass man, like, it doesn't take me forever to go and find stuff that I want to find or, like, work out little, like, logic problems that it has every once in a while.
And no one tells you to do your homework or go check out the trash.
I hate those guys. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of days.
Worst.
You
They're
get to
the worst.
You get to play through it, you know, and you get to feel accomplished because it does take, like, some traveling to get everything that you want and to, you know, go into every dungeon. You don't even have to go into every dungeon, but you want to. So it sort of makes you explore around and do that. I don't know. For me, it's the original all the way.
Cool. Do you want to answer your own question?
Yeah, it's Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to ride a horse.
Yeah.
And I did a lot.
Yeah.
Montar a caballo.
Bless you.
Thank you. Mine's a Macaroni of Time as well.
Which was really a pan flute. That noise is made from a pan flute.
Yeah. It was like, it came around at a like cool time in my life where I was old enough to be able to figure things out. Mm-hmm. It had that like 3D thing where you could, you know, you see different angles of Link. Mm-hmm. You had like vertical missions to climb up and scale things as opposed to just left and right. And it was just really cool. It had this kind of dark ending where you come back and the Temple of Time is all creepy. Mm-hmm. And there are, like, zombie dudes that, you know, like, and you have to hit them and stuff. You know what zombies like. And like the song component.
Zombie?
Oh, the song component was...
The music component was really cool. Like well if you done. Wanted to, you could make your own little ditty.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I really like Twilight Princess. But for me, the 64 version, Ocarina of Time was just... That's the bee's knees. And I love the Zelda franchise. And one of my things about being bugged by owning an Xbox is that I can't get Zeldas.
I know, a Wii is so expensive. You just can't go out there and get it.
I don't want to get a Wii because I'm a grown-up.
Ooh!
Take that, words. Internet. Come at me.
Oh, man.
Don't tase me.
Don't tase me.
Oh, I remember that.
I know.
Yeah. Ooh, memes!
Oh, no. Video game that has to lay on its side.
Like the Wii is cool. The Wii is cool. It has fun things. But I am a hardcore gamer. I want awesome graphics. I want to be able to like just have really cool voice acting in the middle of my games. I don't know if Wii does that. I think Wii is more of like a party game thing. And I've enjoyed the party games I've played.
Yeah.
You remember you came to my birthday years ago and we had a Wii back then.
You did.
But come on, Xbox. Come on.
Please, listen, I'm a fan of fun, but when I'm by myself, like, I don't want to have fun anymore. I just...
I want to shoot a guy and see, like, a...
I thought that was going to go somewhere else entirely.
I did, too.
That, so thank you for not...
I wasn't sure where that was going.
I
want
to see a photorealistic projectile crack open an enemy's head.
I want to go into the deepest parts of my psyche and be astonished at how horrible it is there.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, don't get me wrong. I, you know, me and Master Chief have made the journey once or twice, but in all honesty, I've never gotten past the old school games. I mean, that's the reason why I...
You're a retro gamer?
Yes, yeah, me totally. Too. I mean, there are, like, I love Kratos, and I love Master Chief. Mainly because I enjoy...
Not a Shepard fan, huh?
No, not.
People are like, oh, God of War is so hard. No, you play Ninja Gaiden, and you tell me how hard that game is.
I think the reason I like it is because these games are games that they choose a character, and they make them iconic over the course of their trilogy. And Link is one of those characters. He's become iconic because, like you said, he is the Link to that world, and he is that Link in every game to every one of those worlds. So you have a character that's extremely iconic. He's been on... you know, dozens of adventures, and he always comes out the winner, and you're usually the one helping him do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This is like one of the few franchises where we can talk. This is a franchise that has 25 years worth of history. You know, a lot of gaming companies can't say that, you know, and it's really interesting to talk about. I don't know. I enjoy talking about older games. You kids nowadays with your first-person shooting and your signing online to talk with your friends, I don't get that.
And your internet?
And your internets?
And your mobile phones?
What?
They could technically do that with Link. You could see first-person bow shooting, like, well, but it'd look more like Bow Hunter.
All right, we're pushing pretty long here, so I unfortunately have to wrap it up. Gentlemen, thank you all so much for coming out and discussing this game tonight with me. Do you guys want to plug anything?
Yes.
This is getting real sexy.
I have a podcast of my own where I play a wacky character. It's called Blaster Podcast. It's a fake science, real comedy show. It is for free on iTunes. Go check it out.
I have listened to it, Mark. It is good. Stop here, look up, and smile.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have anything they wish to plug? Shows or?
Yeah, actually, if you've got a minute, go ahead and visit Feldspar and Spidertooth.org. That's Feldspar, the rock, and Spidertooth, the two words, .org. This is some fantasy characters that a friend of mine have created, and we've got some cartoons, and we've got some live-action stuff. Check it out.
I have seen the cartoons. They are quite enjoyable.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
They are cartoons, after
yes,
all.
Yes, they are. I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and tonight with me have been...
Charles Wright.
Zach Munn.
Rob Shoemake.
Mark Soloff.
This is the Nerd Outcast podcast. Thank you for listening.